and I welcome you to this amazing event that has just been an amazing, amazing event. So I'm just so grateful for everyone who is here, for this connection, for this amazing event. So welcome, welcome everyone. Happy Sunday to our kickoff event. We've got some amazing presenters this week. So many things I'd like to share with you. But first, before we go any further, the way I always start everything is with a prayer. And this prayer is just for the entire summit. It's for everyone who is here for this kickoff and everyone who jumps in and finds out about it on Thursday, the last day. It's for everybody. So just take a deep breath, breathing in. God, grace and gratitude, just breathing in, knowing that the two or more that are gathered are here by divine and perfect connection and divine and perfect appointment. And so I just bless this entire summit, every attendee and every presenter. I bless our phone lines. I bless the satellite waves. I bless the technology. I bless it all. I bless all of our hearts connectedly, knowing that collectively we are here to shine bright, to serve, share, and shine our light out into the world, doing what we love and receiving so much more. For this and so much more, I am grateful. I release. I let it be. And so it is. That is one of my all-time favorite songs, and I wanted that to be the theme song for this first ever virtual psychic summit, because it is my heart and it is my passion and my excitement to share this, to believe in the magic that all of us have and this amazing gift that some of us have practiced and learned and been given by God and by our allowance of this amazing gift, have really aligned ourselves with the truth, and that is to be a light worker. So I wanted this week to be a place where no matter where you are in the world, no matter what time it is, you know that there is someone that you can listen to tomorrow that is going to motivate you in the morning, or you're wanting a reading, there's something important coming up for you and you need to connect to someone and you don't know who to connect to, and you've heard of myself as a psychic, or you've heard of Joy Fit Nation, or you've heard of Jamie Saldoff, or you've heard of Razzie Cassidy or Allison Donnelly, some of the amazing presenters that we have. And so you wanted to find out, okay, I want a reading with them, and but I want to check them out first. I want to see who they are and what they're all about. And so I wanted us to have this opportunity to collectively share and shine and serve. And so that is what this is all about.
Oh, my gosh. These dogs are starving. You can see the ribs on some of these dogs.
I'm sorry to unmute, but I'm receiving absolutely nothing.
I'm not getting anything either.
I'm sorry to unmute, but I'm receiving absolutely nothing.
I'm not getting anything either.
I'm sorry to unmute, but I'm receiving.
One off of mute. Can anybody hear me? Yes.
I can hear you fine now.
You can hear me fine now. Okay. You couldn't hear me at all before?
No.
Nope. Hear anything before other than after the prayer.
That's interesting. Okay. Well, I will keep it off now. So it looks like, so you haven't heard me for the last 10 minutes.
No.
Nope. Sure haven't.
All right. Well, this is why we have amazing technology. So I'm so grateful that you guys caught me because I had no idea. All right. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So we'll just start all over. We've got about 10 minutes, and that's okay. So that's why this is the kickoff. So now I know which buttons to make sure are pressed. So thanks, everybody. Go ahead and mute yourself by dialing *6. I will not mute anyone. How is that? I will let you know when I do that. Okay? All right. So thank you, everybody, for saving the day for me. I am, you know, in my zone here. So thank you, technology, for working. Okay. So let me back it all the way up. All right. So after the prayer, it sounds like everyone was disconnected. Okay, so back to welcome, welcome. I'll just start all over again. So I just am so excited and so grateful to have everyone here today for this first ever virtual psychic summit. It has been an amazing journey to go with you, to join with you. And so I just really am so grateful for this exciting time. And I know collectively we have put all this together with our love, with our light. And so I wanted to share something magical for all of us, something that connects each and every one of us in an amazing and beautiful way. And so I wanted to share something magical with you and why I'm doing all of this. Take a deep breath. That is one of my all-time favorite songs, and I wanted that song to be kind of the energy that connected all of us for the virtual psychic summit. So I wanted to start off with that. We can do magic. I know that each and every one of us has some amazing, amazing gift, talent, skill, and time and treasure that we absolutely are gifted to have. And so I wanted us light workers to have a place where we could do that. And so it's been this amazing journey to share with you this experience of collectively having all of these light workers and all of these amazing healers and teachers and mediums and soul guidance and all of these amazing energy of teachers for everyone. And so I welcome each and every presenter and each and every attendee, and I just thank you so much. So let's get into some of the good stuff. First off, let's talk about our swag bags, and then we're going to talk about our Mystical Messages scavenger clue hunt game. So, first off, the swag bags. There are two swag bags. There is a VIP swag bag, and there is a new swag bag that goes with our Mystical Messages scavenger hunt. So, the VIP swag bag is where there is the opportunity for you to get a reading as well as get some of the amazing swag as a love angel card deck and a beautiful handcrafted piece by our featured sponsor, Anna Maria, who is the gemologist of the Virtual Psychic Summit, who has beautifully donated an amazing, amazing piece of amethyst. And I'd love to show you that. So take a peek at the Virtual Psychic Summit community on Facebook for that. And then the second swag bag goes with our Mystical Messages scavenger hunt game. And so this game is really where you as attendees are going to get clues from us presenters. So this allows us presenters to be in the game as well. So we're going to get clues either from our own material or from the website and give you a clue. And each day there will be new clues. And the person who weaves together the mystical words and comes up with the best message will get the swag bag. So this is a great game. So we're going to, for instance, let's say I say that my keyword is angel wings. That's my first word. And then our next guest presenter's word is beautiful. So you start weaving together a mystical message of beautiful angel wings. So do you get it? So you'll have over 20 clues, I think, to weave together a mystical message. And whoever weaves together the best message will receive the second swag bag. So that is how all of us will get involved, put some amazing energy together in creating an amazing event for us this week. So we are ready to get some clues started. It's almost time for our first amazing guest to kick on. And so I wanted to share just a few more things about logistics. Each day the calls will be recorded and they will be for sale either at the end of the day or at the end of the week. Because of our very special and unique schedule of having a morning motivation time from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. every day, Central Standard Time, then our psychic power hour from 2 to 3, followed up with our evening enchantment from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. That doesn't leave a lot of time for a replay. So I want to let you know that if you do want to purchase a day audio, you can do that on the virtualpsychicsummit.com webpage and purchase that there or at the end. So I'm super, super excited about our first guest. Her name is, I don't even know, should I call her Reverend Jamie? Should I call her Psychic Jamie? I'm just blown away. When I received this amazing box of goodies from before I connect, can I please ask everyone, because before we
start, hold on.
Your phone, can you please mute your phone by dialing *6? Please dial *6, mute your phone. Thank you so much. Before I continue to introduce our amazing first guest, who is, I don't know if anyone has ever heard of Lilydale. Can I please ask you to mute your phone before we introduce? Someone has an open line. I'm trying to keep this. Okay, so I'm just going to make sure. Jamie, do you hear me?
I do. Do you hear me?
Okay. Yes, okay, because I've switched it to, instead of interactive, to lecture, and I hope that was the change I needed to make. Okay, so we can get started. So I want to finish introducing you, so give me just a moment, and I do appreciate those of you who are helping me here. This is why I wanted the launch party, because I wanted to make sure I was pushing the right buttons. So this is kind of our get ready launch party. So I'm glad that you guys are sticking it out with me and are letting me make a few mistakes here. Again, this is my first time doing this, and so I'll get the hang of it by later tonight. So let me get back into introducing this amazing light worker, Jamie Seldoff. And so Lilydale is this magical, mystical place that I will let Jamie introduce for herself. And I've actually never been there, but it's a place I've been wanting to go. And so Lilydale is a psychic center that we have here in the United States that a lot of people don't even know about. And so it's a very beautiful place, as well as where Jamie was trained. And I'm just holding her amazing book here, The Transformational Healing. And when I got this box of goodies, I didn't even want to part with these amazing books because I said, oh, my God, they're so amazing. I just couldn't even believe it. And I said, wow, she's just talking my whole language. And so I was so excited to connect with Jamie and have her as our first guest here for the Virtual Psychic Summit. And so, Jamie, I welcome you. Thank you so much for being my wing woman today and helping me out with this technology and sharing your light and love and being on this journey with me. So welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today. Happy Sunday. Hello, Jamie.
Happy Sunday to you too. And let me pick up with where you were talking about Lilydale, because I love talking about Lilydale, mostly because as soon as you enter the gates there, there's just this feeling that envelops you of acceptance and love and healing and just all good things. The community was built in the 1800s. At one time, there was 200, 250 around there, Victorian homes in this gated community. It sits up on a hill, and there's a lake down at the bottom. And one of the things that they're famous for, I guess the main thing that they're famous for, is there's 70 to 80 mediums in-house at any given time through season, which is usually from June, early first in June to the end of September to Labor Day. And throughout that entire season, you know, you can sign up with any of those mediums at their homes and get readings. Another thing that they're famous for is something called the stump. And the story about the stump is that back in the early days, some of the children of the psychics and people living there wanted a place where they could practice out of the adult's eye. And so they would go back, and there was a stump back there, and they would stand on that as their stage, and they would practice readings. And when the adults found it, they found it to be so wonderful back there that they kind of took it away from the kids and grabbed it for themselves. But it was called the healing stump, and it was a very old tree. And for many years, they literally would stand on the stump to give readings. And then at one point, the degradation of the stump was so bad that now they just stand in front of it. But it's still there, and it's just a magical place. There's actually several places where you can get public, what they kind of call them greetings, in that, you know, you'll go and several of the psychics of the community will stand up front and offer real short, quickie readings. And then, you know, just like here at the Virtual Psychic Summit, that's a good way to say, oh, you know, I really like the way that medium offers, you know, their work, and so you will sign up to have a reading with them. But there's also all kinds of programs that take place, and many famous people who you could probably name anybody who's anybody in the spiritual community, and they've probably been there. And they have a huge auditorium there that they fill with people to see these people speak and give lectures and teach. And again, it's just such a wonderful community and place to just walk around and be in that energy of the place. So anyway, that's, you know, there's not that many homes there now. Some of them have either fallen into disarray or a couple of them have burned down or that sort of thing. So over the years, I mean, we're talking going back to Victorian times, so you know, a lot of things have happened and changed, but it is just such a wonderful community. I like to call it Brigadoon at times. If you ever saw the old movie Brigadoon, it's kind of like going into that magical place, you know, except that it's there all the time. And actually, the mediums do, you know, some of them do stay year-round. Some of them actually live there full-time. But others, once season's over, they go about to wherever it is they live the rest of the year, so anyway, that's...
Wow. Wow. You know, and like I said, I've always wanted to go, and I know that I always say that God is my travel agent, so I go where I am guided, and so maybe one day very soon I'll be guided there. It's always a place I've wanted to adventure off to. So, Jamie, I wanted to dive into transformational healing. I mean, when I just even looked at the cover of this book, I was just so, like, blown away, and I was like, oh, I don't want to give it away. I want to keep it for myself. So, I mean, you just put it all in here. Like, this is the book that I'm writing in a different way. You know, it's like, this is everything. This is, I might have to keep it. I don't know. I mean, it's fantastic. I just absolutely love it. So can you talk about these five, keys and, you know, directing your life? And I have to say, this is so much like my book, Jamie, that page 100 and 101 with the map. That's me. I'm a visual person. I always need big pieces of paper to put all my maps all over the place. So you have put together every single thing. So you might have to send me another one if you don't mind. I love it. I just so love it. So please talk to us about transformational healing.
Well, the story about transformational healing is that when I was 24, I ended up with cancer. And after I came out of that experience, I was well, but I wasn't well, if that makes sense. I mean, even, you know, the doctors will tell you that there's no such thing as a permanent remission. What they'll say is, you know, well, they'll call it like, okay, you're in remission, and then they'll say like permanent remission, but they'll never say you're cured. Those are the words they never say, is you're cured. And I didn't have any more problems with cancer, but I just couldn't seem to stay well. It was just always like one thing after the other. And I got to the place where I just really needed to know how to really find wellness, because my family had been through so many tragic things. There had been illness. There had been car accidents. There had been suicides. There was just nothing but tragic death in our family. And so I needed to find wellness, and I needed to find it on a holistic level, so that it was not just well-being of the body, but of the mind and the spirit. And I locked myself in a room, and I began writing. But I had started in 1990, about 5 years out, and I wrote what I called the Book of Me. And it was all about everything that I had experienced in my journey of illness. And it was pretty much me, 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 me. And I kept trying to get the story into a place where it could help other people, but it was so focused on me that I just don't think that it really could. You know, it was a nice story to read, but it just really wasn't going to help anybody. And finally, when I went into prayer and I went into meditation on it, it occurred to me that I needed to create something that was focused on the reader. And also, I wanted it to be something so simple that I thought of some people in my life who would be confused by certain things, certain terminologies and catchphrases and things like that. Not to mention that I came up through, at one point in my life, the only book that I had ever really read as far as healing went was the Bible. So I went into a whole period where I just engrossed myself in other books, and I was confused at the start about some of these meanings and terminology. So it had to be simple. It just absolutely had to be on a level that almost anybody could pick up and open the book in any place and start understanding the method. And this is what came out of it. And it really, instead of being a journey about my illness, it's what I discovered in finding wellness on a whole level and realizing that it's not just about getting the body well. It's also about following the heart and answering those calls that are deep within you. It's really, in some ways, it should almost be called transformational purpose, because I find a lot of people will tell me, oh, you know, my sister-in-law was just diagnosed with cancer, and so I'm buying her your book. And I'll say, she's not ready for it yet. Because when you're in the middle of a healing crisis, trying to figure out why you're in the middle of a healing crisis is not always the time to discover these kinds of things. It's usually on the other side of it when you're like, what was that all about? You understand? And so I came up with the five keys, the first one being relief, because until we find some sort of relief, we're just really not in a position to really dig deeper into our soul and deeper into our pathway of where we're going. A good example, a friend of mine has been on a really difficult journey of trying to find that healing place and has tried so many different things and just now is finding some answers to that on a physical level so that she can soon go on further onto, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? What is my calling? What is my purpose? I believe that the second key is commitment or dedication to the fact that you're going to try to find this healing and find this purpose and find this path of your heart, because a lot of us say, oh, someday I'm going to be a singer, or I dream of the time when I can be a painter and be free from the drudgery of this 9-to-5 job I have, or as soon as my kids graduate from high school, then I can find what it is that I really want to do. And so there's all of this wishing and hoping, and it really is just our way of pushing it all aside. And so we're wondering why these things continue to happen in our life, and it's because we're still not pushing towards that which we came to do, if you understand that step. And I believe, and I know that there's people on both sides of the track of this, and my third key is goals. And some people believe that we should just let the divine take us wherever we will go and just be. And there's a lot to be said about that. But I also feel like that there's a part of us that kind of knows where we're heading with that, and that we should at least have some idea of what that goal is. And I like to talk about big dream and little dream. And the big dream is, someday I want to be like Madonna on the stage singing and attracting huge groups of people. But usually that doesn't happen as the first step, am I right? So usually what happens is, you start out small, maybe singing for family and friends, or you start out maybe on a local stage. And so I call the little dream that first step. How can you prepare for that first step? Maybe it's even just researching what you have to do, if there's some training you need or if there's some place you need to be to learn it, or be people you need to be with who are going to teach you something about it. So sometimes it just even starts with the research of it. But goals is number three. Number four is divine connection. If you don't have some means of connection, and there's so many different ways to connect. Oh my goodness, I could just sit here for an entire hour talking about the different ways that we all connect. But you need some means to connect with the divine or whatever it is that is God to you, and how you express that. Because it's through that connection that we're given the inspirations and the insights that we may not see in our day-to-day life without, knowing what to do. And those are where we find the divine signs, the day signs that appear for us and tell us, go this way, or the odd coincidences that happen, or the doors that open to the people we need to meet at the right time. So that divine connection can help us get to where we're going or where we're called to be faster if we hone that and if we work on that. And I believe that the last key is synchronicity, and it might be better to say that the last key is simply being open to what all of those things, when all of those things come together. It's simply being open and ready to walk through the doors as they open and being aware of the signs and taking advantage of them. So it's being aware, open, and in sync with everything else that's going on in those other five keys. So that's the book in a thimbleful.
Wow. And, you know, that's why I like it, because you break it down in such a way that the small little bites make sense, you know. And I know that is what a lot of people who are just starting out on the spiritual path and are looking and seeking and needing and wanting understanding, because the reason the self-help section is so popular is because we want to help ourselves. We don't want to appear weak, and we don't want to appear this, you know, in this other way. But I love how you do say it's important that we also connect.
I think that's a very, very important key, and of course that's why that may be one of the biggest chapters. That and goals may be one of the biggest chapters. And then another, one of the other really big key things that comes out of this book has to do with connecting our pain and our physical struggles with where we're supposed to go and what we're supposed to be doing. And what I found was that even with everything that I put in transformational healing, in some ways that was too much and overwhelming for some people. So I have now broken that down into what I call marvelous messages. And that book will be coming out the first of the year. And it's an even simpler method to take the daily pains and aches and body malfunctions that we suffer sometimes. Many of them we chalk off to, oh, you know, my eyesight's failing, that's old age, or this is happening, it's just because I worked too hard yesterday. You know, a lot of times we pass them off as nothing. We, you know, a lot of them are things we don't go to a doctor for even, you know. I mean, look in the aisles of the drugstores and the big box stores where they have the pharmaceuticals. And there's no end to the kinds of things that we can put in our medicine cabinet and creams and lotions and tablets and things, you know, for those aches and pains that we're just trying to, like, push away and push aside. And instead, I like to peel them apart like they're an onion and look inside and go, what is this really trying to tell me? But an even more important thing is this, and that is, in the spiritual world especially, we're always growing and evolving. And so for many years we've had a concept of, oh, what is this, you know, ailment trying to tell me, or what does it mean on a deeper level? And there are some very key people like Louise Hay and Dr. Northrup of Women's Bodies, Women's Bodies. Say that three times fast. Wow. And others who, they have given us the core building blocks of that. But when I was ill, it didn't help me. It wasn't seemingly what I needed, and I had to create my own method, because I found that we are all unique individuals. And having a list of here, go down this list and look for this ailment. Here you are right here, number 15 on the list. That didn't work for me. And I needed something more. I needed something that was unique to me and would help me find out what that meant to me specifically for my specific situation. And so this method works from that. And even going back to the 1800s, as far back as like the 1850s, one of the head psychics or well-known psychics of the day was Andrew Jackson Davis. And he said that we all build on what we've known and where we're going. And he had, he said, for example, that a tree, okay, it, when it's in the twig state, it cannot bear fruit. Why? Because it's so small and tiny, it would just fall over and break, right? So as it grows and comes to that fruit-bearing point, that's when he says, mankind simply displays what they are capable of developing. So back 20, 30 years ago, all we were capable of understanding was this ailment may have a message for me. But we've grown since then. We've learned so much since then. We're waking up and we're understanding and we're reading. And so now we can dig deeper into it and we can find out that wow, there's actually a message in this, you know, a marvelous message that we can find that can help us go forward faster, that can help us be who we really came here to be. So that's what Marvelous Messages is going to be about.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's so rich, because you're right, you know, we do have to take our journey the way we're going to take it. You know, and I believe that spirit talks to us the way we need to be talked to.
Absolutely.
So, like, for you, it could be visions. For me, it could be, you know, internal, you know, clairaudience. For someone else, it could be through their hands. For someone else, it could be through their music or their art. And so when we're doing that from that place, then that's the transformational healing. That's what you're talking about, you know?
Yes.
I love chapter 12, and I think this is where I wanted to stop right here and dive in a little bit, because I love this chapter 12 about why our heritage is important and how it can benefit us. Because remember, I was talking about community, which is the reason we're doing this virtual psychic summit. This is so we can connect the world and people who are looking and needing, you know, a psychic connection or a spiritual counselor, or don't want to go the traditional medicine route but don't know where to look, and then, you know, want to have someone that they can talk to virtually, you know. So, again, but where we come from, that root, what we've been talking about, the transformational month of October, you know, and we're in this mystical time now in the spirit world between, we say, when the veil is the thinnest now with the spirit world because of this blessed week of Hallows Eve and Shawain and Diwali and the Lakshmi Puja and all of this amazing spiritual energy. But our heritage, where we come from, is so important, because a lot of times, and I know I can totally understand, I was one of those people who was, oh, no, I'm not from there. I'm from Chicago. It's okay. When I was traveling in Europe, yeah, I'm from Chicago. If in the U.S., other people think I'm from somewhere else. But it's so important how our heritage, where we come from, it really does weave our story in some degree. Wouldn't you agree?
Tanya, you have found probably the heart of the book, and the thing that the heartbeat of it all. I mean, the thing that really powers me forward through it all, and I want to call it the hidden key of the book, because I think that's the piece that we leave out so many times when we're looking for a purpose, and there's so much into that I just don't even know where to start. I think what I really want to say about that, though, is that our heritage, our people, I want to say, you know, the people who came before us, they had gifts and challenges just like we do. And they have passed those challenges down to us as well as those gifts. And it's in ourselves. It's in our DNA. And a lot of times we have driven obsessions, I almost want to call them, where we don't even know why we want to do it so badly. And if we dig down deep, we find that there is a piece of that, maybe not the whole, but a piece of that in the challenges and the gifts that came before us. And that can help us in two ways. It can help us to understand our pathway better, but it can also help us to tap into gifts that we may have set aside or may not have been aware of, that are within our souls, within ourselves, that we can actually reap as we go forward. And this can come about in several different ways. Like a funny way, you know, like I was sitting here the other week, about a week ago, and I just was like driven to play with dolls a little bit. I'm making a Jimi Hendrix doll to sit on my shelf. And I'm using, I like to do the monster doll remakes, you know, where you take off their face and you redo them. And so I'm doing one of those. And I was just driven and, like, totally focused on making these little tiny pants and this little tiny velvet jacket from the 70s and finding just the right fabric. And I'm like, this has nothing to do whatsoever with what I'm trying to accomplish right now, it seems. But yet it's a piece of who I am, because my mother was keenly into making dolls. That was her business. And it's a part of me that's coming out from her. But it's also in the creativity part that I get that divine connection. And even though it has nothing to do with my books or healing per se on a visible level, it's how I connect on more etheric level. And so it's like as I get involved in that creating, that helps to further me with what I'm trying to do. But that comes from my mother. So there's always this swirling connection between the past and the present and the future. And I want to say, too, that when I go into sessions with people, the thing that I do in my marvelous message sessions is we start out on the physical level and we dig into that ailment using words. You know, I'm a writer, so words come alive to me and I pick up on what they say and we talk about that. And it's just kind of like a conversation. It's not at that point anything that's incredibly psychic or anything like that. And then as we start going through that, we get to the part about halfway in, or maybe a little sooner, where we start talking about the connections to their heritage. And when that part happens, that's when the ahas happen. And then we will delve in through the intuitive and through mediumship and bring those people back to life and talk about it on a deeper level. That's when changes occur in their lives and they start realizing what they need to do to go forward. And that's one of the reasons why I like to have my sessions be a little bit longer, because I used to try to do them within a half hour to 45 minutes, and there was so much that got left behind and so much that we could have brought out that got lost. And so I decided, I had attended a Lisa Williams training, and she had somebody ask, why is it that sometimes spirit stays around after the people have gone home? And she said simply, because you haven't finished. You know, we get so focused on this session has to be from this time to this time, and at that, when that clock strikes on that minute of ending, we have to stop right there. And she said, no, you didn't finish. And so I've purposely made my sessions longer so there's time to really delve in and find the heart of the matter, find that heritage connection, find that connection to our physical body, find that connection to the divine.
Yes, yes, and more yes. And again, that's kind of why I wanted to do this virtual psychic summit, because again, I know that there's so many of us out there and we all offer so many amazing things, and I want to be friends with people like you. You know what I mean? I want to be around people like you. And I want people, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is why this community energy is so important, and why understanding our family, you know, again, our family, I call it family, friends that become family,
yes,
because
yes.
You can create more family than just what you were born with.
This
life
have.
Is ours to do with what we want. And so sometimes our family becomes even more important than the family we were born into. So, yes, I want to be friends with you. And, you know, that's how I think about it. So the Virtual Psychic Summit came because I wanted to hang out with some more psychics and mediums, you know, for Halloween. And why not, you know, why not invite people that I want to learn from and grow with and become friends with, you know. So thank you so much for that. And, again, this makes me go back to how we really want to connect, that whole thing about connection. And, you know, I have to tell you, Jamie, I totally know that there's sometimes so much divine guidance, you know, because when I came up with the name for the Virtual Psychic Summit, that came up and I said, okay, but it's got to have something else. It's got to have something mystical and magical. And so when I came up with modern mystics, magicians, and messengers, I thought, wow, okay, because that's what we are as spiritual teachers, as psychics and mediums. And then when I flipped in your book, page 210, How to Interpret a Vision, and you were talking about this dream book, Mystical, Magical, Marvelous World of Dreams by Wilda Tanner.
Yes.
It's like, oh my gosh, are we speaking the same language? So that's, you know, again, it's like one of those things, like me and you knew we were supposed to be connected, but that's what that connection is. And that's why so many people are drawn to psychics now and life coach and spiritual counselors, because that old way of doing things is not working. So what can you speak to about that vision and this connection that we're all craving? I call that we're all homesick and wanting to go back to the beloved. And maybe one of your balloon exercises, perhaps?
It's funny. Everybody keys in on that balloon exercise. And then I'm always like, no, I can't. Give away the hidden secret of the balloon exercise. You have to read the book to do it. But connection, let me think, the vision of it all. You know, all I know is that when we tap in to that divine and when we allow ourselves that synchronistic piece of letting the balance between knowing where we hope to go and long to go, and following as spirit leads us there. Not only can we get there, we can get so much higher. And let me share it to you in this way. And that is, back in the late 1980s, I knew nothing of this world. I knew nothing. I mean, I had come up out of the evangelical world, and that's all I knew. And I knew that I needed something more. And I would pray every day, and I was back in my little office, kind of snuggled in, and I realized that I was being guided to write and to go forward. But at that time, I knew about 5 people in my community, and I was pretty much a stay-at-home mom. I didn't really go out and do anything. And I was like, how am I going to become a famous writer, or, you know, I can't, you know, I don't even really know anybody. I don't know where to start. I don't know anything. And from that, in just a couple of short years, I went from knowing 5 people to knowing hundreds. I got involved in the writing center at the elementary school and became head of that. And next thing I knew, I had 100 volunteers under me who are helping kids write. We wrote over 1,000 books a year that each kid would write their stories out, and we would help publish those for them in little handmade books. And from there, you know, like I started writing my books, and I started getting involved in other people's organizations and doing more and more, and to the point where when I look back on how quickly that all just ballooned and exploded into amazing, amazing things. I long to be where I'm at now, I could not see the immensity of it all. And still, I keep thinking now that I know how quickly that can balloon and how quickly that can go. I know that there could be even greater things and more wonderful things. And my favorite fairy tale to tell is that of the ugly duckling. And that is because in that story, the ugly duckling, there is no magic, and there's, you know, he doesn't have any magic beans, and there's no fairy that touches him on the head. That transformation that takes place from ugly duckling to swan happens instantly. And the most incredible thing about it is he never knew that he was a swan. There was nobody anywhere who could tell him that. So there's people listening to this recording who are saying, Jamie, that all sounds well and good, but you don't know me. There's no way that anything great or grand can happen to me. And I'm saying it can. If you just tap into that heart place of yourself and start moving forward, start going through those doors, start listening to the signs, you can't even imagine how quickly and how wondrously all these doors can open to you and wondrous things can happen. I mean, look at yourself even, how quickly this summit came together and how people came and joined with you to make this happen. Yes?
Yes, and It is magical. You know, it's the most amazing thing. You know, I just shared on Periscope right before I did a quick little Periscope. So if you guys are listening, please join me on Periscope at Carol Life Coach. But I said the exact same thing, Jamie, and it was this. We just had this never before seen category 5 out of the record books, never before seen hurricane barreling towards Mexico. And all we could do is listen to this is never been recorded. This is going to be massive. This is going to possibly destroy Mexico. And all we could do is pray.
Yeah.
But every single person on this planet was praying. I could feel it because that never before seen hurricane type 5 out of this world diminished in hours. That is the power of prayer. That is that connection. And I'm sorry, you cannot tell me that that was not a miracle. To me, that was a miracle. I remember going to bed that night praying, God, please keep everyone safe. Let there be no loss of life. And when I woke up and knew that it had turned into a tropical storm, this huge hurricane barreling across the entire country of Mexico that they had never seen before turned into a tropical storm in a matter of hours. That, I'm sorry, is a miracle. Wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely agree. Well, and as you know, because you've also seen my Prayer Superchargers book.
Yes. You walked right into my little hand. It's right in my hand right now. Bring it on, Reverend Jamie. Come on.
Blatant self-promotion, right? No, but I feel like the Wizard of Oz. You know, I do believe in prayer. I do.
Yes. I'm
and
with
before
you, sister.
Before I was known as a medium and a healer, I was known as a prayer warrior, and perhaps that's where I got my start. And I was praying from the time that I was a little child, and tremendous things have happened, and that's why. In that book, you know, I compare that book to Pam Grout's E-Squared, although her book is entirely different in the sense that, you know, there's like exercises that you do. My book gives people a way to manifest things. You know, I don't think we've ever really been taught how to pray. And obviously, you know, the most important thing is to maybe just be yourself and just talk to God or the divine or whatever God is for you and be yourself. But I found that there was like simple things that I did that when people learned those, tremendous things happened in their lives. And I've had people who tell me that of all the books I've written, that's their favorite because it has done so much for them just by knowing those few little tips. And ironically, out of all my books, that one barely sells because people just really don't know that it's out there.
Well, all I can say is it's fantastic, and I absolutely love it. I love You Can Move Mountains. This is exactly what I was just talking about with the prayer that we all did for Mexico. So far, I do love Pam Grout. Absolutely. And so I love how you pray the problem, expect an answer, and ask God to make a way where there is no way. You know, and so it really is, you can move mountains. We, our collective prayer, spared Mexico. If none of us were paying attention, I absolutely know Mexico might be in turmoil right now. It was our love, our collective energy that I believe kept Mexico from being destroyed. And I want to say, I know I can move mountains. I'm on my way. So I invite each and every one of you who are listening to please supercharge your prayer. You can move mountains. What else would you say to that, Reverend Jamie? Because I love this book. Now, this one, I might actually, and I'm always praying, you know. So, and I would love to invite you to do a prayer at the end for all of us before we say goodbye to you, if you wouldn't mind. But not at this moment. But I just wanted to put that out there because I love to pray. I'm always saying, let's pray it up. So, what could you say to that? You can move mountains. What else would you add to that, Reverend Jamie?
The thing that I would add to that is, you know, I found for a while that there were certain things that I would pray on. In the Bible, it says, pray without ceasing. And so I would pray and pray and pray. And I would walk in circles in the floor, and I would pray and I'd pray. And I learned that the reason that I did that was not because the divine couldn't answer. It was because I had to keep praying until I believed he could answer. It wasn't about the power not being there. It was about me believing in it. And so I had to pray and pray and pray until I could believe it. And once you believe it, then it can happen.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize. Sorry.
That's okay.
And the interesting thing, you've hit the nail on the head. That's the whole thing. And that's the reason, I just as soon as you said the word belief, because, you know, Oprah is doing this amazing demonstration of what belief looks like right now, this two-week, I mean, amazing visual, creative connection of all of us around the world. Have you been able to take a peek at that belief series she's got on OWN right now?
No, I wasn't aware that she was doing that. I knew that they were going to do their meditation thing again. But I hadn't seen that one.
Oh, it's fantastic, Jamie. It's really, we've been to India. We've been to the jungle in the Aborigines. I mean, it's visually stunning, as well as learning about all the different beliefs around the world, because that's really, I mean, and as one of the keys, wouldn't you say, out of everything, it's that belief. And, I mean, I would really love for you to speak to that, because even my logo, my tagline is Dream, Believe, Manifest. We don't recognize and realize how important our belief is. So can you speak to what that belief is and, you know, give people some type of exercise or way that they can have a belief exercise or anything to that kind of, you know, the wisdom of emotional healing?
Well, the wisdom of emotional healing focuses on two healers from the 1800s, around the 1850 or so, and after that. And I had been a fan of Phineas Quimby for many, many years, and I had been reading his books. And he was very keen on belief. And he said in order to heal, he learned that he first had to eradicate all of his beliefs. Because what happens is we form every day, almost every second, a collection of beliefs about things. And in regard to healing, one of the things that we will do, for example, is we'll say, oh, well, I know, I just can't eat that. I can't eat chicken anymore because every time I eat chicken, I just feel bad. Okay, so there may be something about that chicken that makes you feel bad. You know, maybe there's hormones in it, or maybe, you know, it wasn't, you know, a good quality chicken or whatever. Or maybe part of that stems from your belief that chicken is bad for me. That's a belief. And what Quimby said was that wisdom, or what he referred to, that would be the way he referred to God in some ways, was wisdom. Was that it cannot be changed, and it's always forever true. So when you look at something like, okay, chicken is bad for me, that can be changed. Because for one thing, you know, it might be bad for you, but it's not bad for somebody else. And it may be that, is it all chicken, or just chicken with the hormones? Or is it, and what I find is what Einstein said, and I think also, Stephen Hawking brought this into awareness as well, was that if you try to disprove something, if you can disprove it, then it can't be true. And oftentimes it's more easy to disprove a belief than it is to prove it. So when you find something and you like the chicken and you go, okay, I'm certain that I can't eat this anymore, then you have to find ways to disprove it. Now, if you're severely allergic to it, I don't recommend it. You keep trying to eat it. But that kind of concept is what you need to apply to all kinds of things, because there's things like, oh, I know I know that my hair will probably be gray by the time I'm 60. Or I know that, I'm just going to, you know, we had my husband's grandfather. Well, he kept saying, you know, to his wife, you're going to end up in a nursing home if you keep going that way. You know, you're just going to end up, and he believed that, and she did. She ended up in a nursing home, you know, so we need to really put our beliefs in check. And the way to start is by just being aware of them. Be aware of your beliefs. And then secondly, once you're aware of them, try to disprove them. Because as you disprove them, you'll realize, oh, that's just a belief. It can be changed. And it's once you realize it's just a belief, it can be changed instantly. You know, oh, I'll never, you know, have $1 million. Well, yeah, because you don't believe that you can. I mean, I've watched some shows where, you know, you see people who are ultra rich and you think, I just wouldn't even know what to do with that kind of money. And you're thinking, that's a belief. You know, I bet if I had that kind of money, I could do all kinds of wondrous things to help people. I probably wouldn't buy a yacht or a gold toilet seat. But, oh, my gosh, what I could do. But I have to believe it first, right? I have to believe it.
Exactly. So I love that you said that because everybody thinks, oh, yeah, you'd get a lot of money and then you'd be buying gold toilet seats. But no, in reality, would you be doing that? Because if you think about it, I heard you can't take it with you. And people really need to understand that. You know, they are building all this wealth for what? I want to use what I have at the time that I have left on this planet. And that's through my time, treasure, or gift, whatever that is, you know. And so I'm glad that you brought that up. And it's so important that we look at our beliefs around money, right? That's a
oh my
huge
gosh.
One.
Timothy
money
Ferris,
and love.
Timothy Ferris wrote in his book, The 4-Hour Work Week.
Oh, right.
He wrote about, I love that book. He wrote about the new rich. And how, you know, the old rich were all about, you know, work your whole life, amass this these monies so that at some point, you know, you can retire. Retire to what? Like, and he's like, the new rich don't care if they have a mansion or, you know, the newest, greatest, latest car rolling off the thing. I mean, look on one of the, I think it's, I'm not sure if it's Home and Garden Channel or one of the others where there's this huge thing about tiny houses. Where a lot of the newer generation coming in is saying, I don't need a mansion. I just need a place to put a few things that are really important to me so I can go and enjoy the life I want. And so that the new concept of rich is changing because then we can do so many other things with money and time. I think time is another part of rich. You know, having time to really do some of the things that we are called to do is so important to people these days. They don't want to be trapped in a 9-to-5 job. They want to have the freedom to do some of the things they want to do. This summer, I had a lot of time off, and I got involved in KonMari, which is the Japanese art of tidying up. There's a book on that, too. And I started feeling giddy again about just having freedom to do some things that I really wanted to do, whether it was, you know, playing with dolls or making jewelry or just enjoying the day, reading a really good book, you know, whatever. I was giddy. I was giddy. And so the new rich, I think, are going to operate in a lot different way than the old school rich.
Yes, that is it, because it's also about being spiritually rich.
Yes,
to me,
yes.
Spiritual richness is more important than any amount of money richness will ever be, because money, again, is just, it's an exchange of energy for things, but we forget that those things ultimately don't matter because they come and go. You know, I remember leaving Spain this last time, and I was just throwing things away, and people were, oh my God, I can't believe you're throwing these things away. And I said, well, I can't take it all with me. You know, that attachment to our things, this, you know, how we are, you know, constantly fed that we should be shopping and we should be buying and we should be having and we should be getting and all these different things connected with money and then feel bad about being broke because you should be going out and spending it. And then, you know, it's like this very interesting juxtaposition of what we should be doing with our money. Should we be saving it or should we be spending it? And people are very confused how that relates to our spiritual connection.
I agree. And the thing that I learned most from KonMari was when you first start out, and they're like, in the book they have you start with clothes, and you take all of your clothes and you lay them on the bed, and you're supposed to touch each one, and you're supposed to look at each one and find the ones that you really love. And when you first start in this process, you don't really know what that means. And as you start going through things, eventually you find something that you really do love and you really are passionate about it. And you go, this one, there's no way I could part with this thing right now. And it's not about an attachment at that point. It's about just a love and a passion that's surrounding it. You know, maybe it, you know, a good example is one of my sons made me a little metal disc that says, "We are Groot" on it. Not valuable at all, really, as far as the content of what it's made out of or whatever. But what's important is the connection he and I have because we both went to that movie and we both enjoyed it, and it was the time we spent together. And every time I look at that, I remember that. That is, once you understand what that love is, what that passion is for things, then you know how to keep things in your life that are really, that you really love and that you really care about. And once you get rid of all the things that don't fall in that category, your life opens up tremendously as well. So that's what I learned from that book. And I don't know that I could go back to that, you know, to where I was before that, because it meant so much to me to understand that passion, what those things that we really care about. You know, my sons are asking me now, you know, what do we want to do about Christmas this year? And I said, the important thing to me is the family connection, getting together, talking, laughing. You know, it's not about what's in the boxes. It doesn't have to be a certain amount of money or how much money we spend on gifts. It's about just getting together and sharing that time.
Yes, yes, and more yes. And it's so important that we remember that. And I think that's the thing that a lot of us are really, again, missing, just like what we started with at the beginning. The whole reason I wanted to do this virtual psychic summit is because we all are so connected to each other, but we also are so disconnected from each other. And I wanted us to have a community and some connection and some collaboration and some, you know, that real sense of community for us spiritual people. I mean, I know, you know, in your neighborhood, you know, if you want to go to, you know, get some spiritual stuff, you know, to go to your favorite crystal shop or your favorite bookstore or your favorite whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? But
yes,
there's more of us out here, and that's the whole reason. Again, we all want to be connected. And again, it goes right back to what you said. It goes back to our family. It goes back to the world. It goes back to ourself, our connection with our spirit.
Absolutely.
Because we want to be connected out and we want to be connected in. So what can you speak to that? That, again, going back to that connection, we've got this big bright world out there that's telling us doom, gloom, it's going down, you know, and it's disheartening because that's why they call, we have to be spiritual warriors. We have to be spiritual warriors because there is like a war going down out there. You know, there seriously is something going down, and we have to really allow ourselves to be aware of what that is. And we get very, very nervous. You know, we don't like that. We don't know what to do. So, and we need direction.
There's a lot of people in my circles who get really afraid when they hear those kinds of things, and they want to take rash actions or do things that really aren't going to help anybody. And my, first of all, one of the things that I have done more or less intentionally is I watch very little television, and I don't really connect in with, I mean, honestly, I have so many things to do during a day. I don't have time to sit down and watch TV. So when I do, it's usually something that's fun and enjoyable. It's usually not news or that sort of thing. And same thing on the Internet. When I get on the Internet, the thing I want to do most is connect with people or learn or share. And so I try to stay away from things that are just going to bring me down. And people say, you have to be aware of what's going on in your world. And I said, well, the way to correct that and the way to begin to heal the world is to start with ourselves and look around with the people we connect with and how we react with them and interact with them. And start with ourselves. I mean, before we send money to Africa to help the starving children, we should also help the starving children in our neighborhood. Before we, you know, save the rainforest, you know, we should maybe be concerned about the park down the street that needs some cleaning. And I'm not saying we should stop the further outreach things, but I think we forget what's right in our circle. And all of these things around us are crumbling or need assistance or need somebody to care about them. And instead, we're too focused on other things that are negative and bringing us down and tearing apart our world. So first we have to start with ourselves and what's in our circle of influence.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm talking about. And that's the hard part. That sometimes is the hard part. We really want to, we want to help everyone. We want to be in, you know, and that's our work as light workers. That is our work. That is what we are here to do. But again, sometimes we have to remember that, you know, we are giving you the lifeline. You have to do a little bit of the work, and that means looking at your stuff, the stuff that hurts, the stuff that is painful, because that means that we, as teachers and as healers, we've already gone through those things. I mean, we don't get to become healers and teachers and spiritual people by just going to some classes and singing Kumbaya all the time.
Right.
I say, you know, spiritual teachers, you know, I learned that we've been through some shit. We've had to go through some shit to get, you know, to still be spiritual.
Absolutely.
After some of the stuff that we've gone through, and we're still spiritual. You know, that's how I see it, you know. And so I'm grateful that I've had some, I mean, I've had some kick down, knock down, I can't believe this is happening experiences, but I know that spirit, that connection within me has lifted me, has pushed me, has loved me. And so it is that connection to the divine within us. And that's what it's all about. Wouldn't you say, Reverend Jamie? I mean, there's so many things that I love that. And so you have to come on, you have to come back and do some readings with us. I have to get you back. I mean, I do. So please look at your schedule and let me know. I just posted something. We've got some openings. So I would love to get some mediumship readings. I mean, I'm sure all of our attendees and everyone, even our other presenters, would love to have you back on and do some readings. So will you please make some time back for us, Ms. Jamie? Okay, now can I ask you to bless us? I mean, I would love to get a prayer with you and from you. So could you bless us with your divine wisdom?
I will share with you one of my favorite prayers, which is to ask God to take my mouth so that I might speak the words that people need to hear, and to take my hands so that I may be able to touch those who need a healing touch. Take my ears so that I can hear what I need to hear and say what I need to say. Take my mind so that I know the information that I need to know to help others. Take my heart so that I can offer compassion to those around me. And take my feet so I can go where I need to be to help those in my path. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. So fantastic. Thank you so much, Jamie Saldock. You guys, please go to thevirtualpsychicsummit.com. Get your get connected with Jamie. See all of her amazing books. And, again, just look at some of the amazing work she does. And I have to tell you, I know you've been going through this metamorphosis on your website, and
yes.
I just have to tell you, it looks fantastic. I love it. It's gorgeous.
And more stuff coming. I mean, that's really has just come online in the last week or so, and more is coming. So check back if, you know, you don't find something that – you're looking for it, it will be there, including my missing blog.
Okay. Yeah, no, I love it. And so I just, again, thank you so much for being on. Please stay tuned. I'm going to go ahead and allow everyone to go ahead and go, we're going to go into interactive mode so everyone can talk for a moment so we can interact here and get ready for our next guest. So everyone, if you are, please make sure that if you'd like to talk, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2, or if you do not want, if you have a lot going on in the background, please press star 6. We will go back into our other mode in just a moment. So thank you so much, Jamie. So does anybody have any... anybody have any hands raised? I'm looking for my next. I'm looking for Anna Maria. And Anna Maria, where are you? I'm looking for the hand raised. Okay, so I'm going to. Please make sure you mute yourself by pressing star 6. I'm going to go to raised hand. All right, first raised hand. Hello.
Good morning, Tanya. This is Anna Maria.
Okay, there you are. So where? Which one are you? You are Woodbridge, VA.
Oh, yeah. I'm calling in from my cell phone that I haven't changed to an Oregon number yet.
Okay, that's okay. It's all right. I just want to change your name so I can see it. You know what I mean? Like, it's here. I can see it, and it came up sometimes some names and sometimes no names. So, okay, I've got you. There, so I'm going to put you, I'm going to let you raise your hand back down, so stay right where you are. I've got one question. Okay, hello, welcome, welcome.
Hi, good to be here.
Is it still Anna Maria? Okay, somebody had their
yes.
hand up. Okay, did somebody else have their hand up? I just want to make sure I got everybody. Did anybody else
yeah.
have their hand up? Anybody wanted to
yeah.
make a comment?
Hi, Tanya.
Hi.
This is Shambra Johnson in Philadelphia.
Hi, Shambra. How are you? Welcome. Thank you so much.
Thanks. I just wanted to say thank you so much for what I've heard, Jamie. So beautiful. The information is so powerful. I'm looking forward to more and to implementing a lot she shared.
Oh, good. Yay. Thank you, Shambra. Did you get your candle?
I did.
Oh, good. Good. Fantastic. Okay. I've got another hand raised. So go ahead, Shambra, and mute yourself, star 6, or mute yourself on your phone. Got one more comment. Hello. Anna Maria, is that you? I thought I had another hand raised. Okay, you guys, I'm going to go back into lecture mode. So go ahead and mute yourself. That is star 6. And to raise your hand, then you can go to star 2 when we go to readings. So I'm going to go ahead and, again, reintroduce and all of that. So until then, I'm going to play another one of my favorite songs. So let's get ourselves ready for our next guest. So just give me just a moment. Come back in and introduce. So listen to a little bit of this.
Love and peace, joy and struggle. When it hurts, when times get hard, go for it. Go for it.
So welcome back to the Virtual Psychic Summit. That was This Little Light of Mine, one of my other favorite songs. And we are back with our second guest today, the amazing gemstone alchemist, Anna Maria. Now, Anna Maria's beautiful, handcrafted, one-of-a-kind jewelry is what she calls is gemstone alchemy, because each piece has its own energy benefits, which is what she calls greater than a sum of its parts. And so I just love that, because she has a session with everyone to connect them to their one-of-a-kind piece. And so Anna Maria is a gemstone empath, a guardian of the stones, and a Reiki master. So Anna Maria, I am wearing right now the Courageous Potential. And I have to tell you, I don't know if it's me, the full moon, my excitement, but I feel like I'm floating on the clouds. What did you do to this necklace? And I love it. So tell me about Courageous Potential, this beautiful piece I'm wearing. And I am so grateful to be gifted with this amazing piece of jewelry. Thank you so much.
Well, first off, it's some of the most gorgeous amethyst out there. It's just clear and sparkling. So there's something about it. It absolutely raises the vibration. And as I make each piece, even though I don't know who it's for, as I'm making it, I know that I'm connecting with the person that's going to be wearing it. And so from the time that it's created, it's actually in some way, it's already working in your energy field. So you may have been feeling it for the last couple of months before you even saw it online, and way before you ever got it in the mail. Because each piece, as I work with it, because I'm a guardian of the stones, when I hold the stones, they're returned back to their original purpose and creation. And then when you put it on, you're feeling the energy of the specific stones, which, of course, amethyst is the great protector and connector to higher source. But it also is helping you tap into what your real purpose here is on Earth, which is every single piece I do is created with a different energy and a different intention, but its overall intention is to help each wearer really be clear on who they are and what their purpose is, and then support them through whatever challenges or next steps that they need to get to really live from that space. And so this piece is just like helping you just stay, as you said, floating. You're like so connected to your higher guidance and to all the people that are calling in this week that it's just really a special energy, and I can feel it from here. It feels joyful and dancing, and like all the guides and people calling in are dancing with you. And
you know,
it's so much fun to feel.
Yeah, I feel that. I do feel that. It's like, again, like I said, like my energy feels very, very, very high, and I know that that has to do with this creation. So tell me a little bit about your process, and then I know that you are a gifted empath and Reiki master, so I've got to get you to do some readings.
I would love to. Yeah, but my process is I basically sit down, and I have a 9-foot grid wall of stones hanging on the back, on my back wall, which is just tremendous. I just moved, and I've spent 6 weeks getting it organized the way I want it. And there are literally thousands of strands of stones hanging on that wall. And so I will sit down, and I might have an idea of what I want to make, but I turn around, and the stones that want to come out and play that day just start vibrating. And it may not even be what I thought I was going to do. I may sit down thinking I'm doing amethyst and end up doing jade instead, because that's the one that is just literally flashing. And then I'll sit there for a bit and tune into the person that's going to be wearing it.
Oh, muted their phone. Can you please mute your phone?
Or
is that your doggy phone having fun?
It is not. It is not my dog.
Okay, so whomever has dogs in the background, can I please ask you to mute your phone? Thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
I will sit with the stones and talk to them and let them, basically, I let them talk to me. And we connect to the person that's going to be wearing it. And as I put each piece together, it tells me in which stones want to be next to each other, which metal it wants. The whole thing, it just informs me as I go. And back in the early days when I was just learning all this, and I would make something, and I would be so focused on how beautiful it was, and not so much on the energy of the stones, and I would put it together, hold it up, and it would fall apart. And I'd sit there, and I'd look at it, and I'd go, okay, I'm sorry, I guess I wasn't listening. And when I would put it back together, it would make just the tiniest little changes. And it's probably been now 5 years since I had a piece fall apart when I made it, because I just sit there and I really listen. And sometimes I'll be putting it together and two stones that look exactly alike will want to change places. And so it's a phenomenal process, and I feel it coming alive as I'm working with it. And, you know, and then when I have them in my shop, I sit here and I talk to them. I come in the morning and I go, hi, darling, how are you? And
oh, I love it.
They answer. You know, each one of them has its own personality. In fact, I started calling them beings, which is something I just learned recently. I just got my very first phenomenal crystal bowl. It's a moldavite and palladian bowl from Crystal Tones at a store in Mount Shasta. And they call all of their bowls beings. And I thought, that's exactly what every piece I make is. Each one is a being with its own personality and its own purpose in creation to help the wearer be who they are. And sometimes sometimes the purpose is helping you get through your fears, giving you the courage, helping you find the words and communicate your purpose or connect your heart and soul and communication with the world. Each piece is completely different, and it's magnificent. And that dog really wants to come and play with this.
I know. I'm so sorry. Whomever, please, if you have a dog, can you please mute yourself? Please, this is being recorded. Otherwise, I'm going to have to change the way we are interacting, because it is bad recording. So please make sure you press *6 or mute on your phone. So it looks like we might have gotten that taken care of, Mariah. I hope so this time. Yeah, because that dog was really audacious. He sounded like he was getting angry by the minute, and I do not like an angry dog. So, all right, so we were going to talk about the readings, and I would like to just take a moment and take a quick pause about a few things about the summit as we move forward. And before we get into some of that juicy goodness that you are about to drop on us, Anna Mariah, so please remember, as a guest, this is absolutely free for you. If you are new, or if you want to invite your friends, please invite your friends to sign up at thevirtualpsychicsummit.com. You will then be led through the process of signing up for a free VIP or raffle ticket, depending on what you'd like. Then you will be receiving an email shortly, most likely for tomorrow then, because, again, we have a VIP section, which is password protected. So you will be getting an email that gives you the call-in information just for you that you can use every single day. So your call information, save the number, and it's the same number you will use every day. Hosts, we have a different system. So So I will leave that with us. So thank you for that. Just a quick moment, Anna Maria, for that kind of house cleaning. So quick question before we get into your reading style and how you read. What do you think of our mystical messages scavenger hunt game? What do you think of that?
I think that's really fun. I'm looking forward to it and tuning in and seeing if I can follow the scavenger hunt.
Right, so our mystical message. So make sure I have Jamie's word, and she didn't drop it, so I'm going to drop Jamie's word in here sometime. So make sure you drop whatever keyword, and I'll just keep just whatever pops in your mind. I'm writing them down. So let's hope I can keep them all together. But drop in whenever you're ready for your clue, whenever you get a word and you're like, oh, that's my clue, please let me know, okay?
Okay. Okay.
All right, fantastic. So tell me a little bit about how you read. You're a gemstone empath. You're also an energy healer. You're a Reiki master. Do you use tarot cards? Do you use oracle cards? Tell us a little bit about that.
I use tarot cards and just my empathic skills. So I kind of go back and forth because sometimes I can just absolutely just tune into a person and just go, oh, well, here we go, let's just talk. And other times the tarot cards help me focus a little bit better. And I use a deck that was created, gosh, back in the early or late 80s. By a man named James Wanless, who is actually a personal friend of mine. And it's the Voyager deck, and it's got some of the most gorgeous pictures. And each one is just has a lot of different images. And what that does is it allows me to just focus it, take a look, kind of like I do with my stones, and I just look to see which piece of the image is flashing and wanting to be paid attention to, and sometimes that gives us really clues. And I believe that most of the time when I'm using the card, it's because I'm talking to somebody that's very visual, and having, even over the phone, having that visual image of a waterfall or something helps them understand the message that I'm giving as well. Because sometimes it's about, you know, words, and sometimes it's really about having taking in a feeling and saying, wow, I feel that, yeah. And so I just use whatever tools I'm feeling at the time is appropriate. And I just basically am listening to my guidance and the guidance of the person that I'm doing reading with to see what's needed.
Wow, I really, really love that. And so I would love to have you, you know, do a reading with someone. So, you know, what I'm going to do is just pick someone here. Let's see. I'm looking at, oh, my gosh, the North Pole. I'm looking at the North Pole. So that is Joanne. Joanne, are you there? You can go ahead and unmute yourself. I'm going to unmute you. Are you there, Joanne?
I'm here.
Okay. So Anna Maria, here you go. So ladies, Joanne, this is Anna Maria. Anna Maria, this is Joanne.
Hello.
Hi, Joanne. And you're at the North Pole? Really?
I am.
Wow, I don't think I've ever talked to anybody at the North Pole before except Santa Claus.
Well, it's not the actual, you know, quote-unquote North Pole. There, it's a town about 20 minutes away from Fairbanks. Yeah.
Oh, I figured as much. And the way I do want to mention reading is I don't talk a lot about your past because you already know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do actual future readings. My purpose is helping you tap into your beingness and potential. And so I'll work with a lot of times a question about, you know, what's going on in your life, what are you struggling with, and see if we can find a new way of taking another look at that or figuring out a next step or something that just opens things up.
That's That's
because that's where my real talent and joy comes in.
And I think that's kind of where I'm at right now, too.
Yay, of course. So, you know, of course we're going to get the right person on the line with, that has that kind of question. So tell me a little bit about what's going on and what you would like some information on.
I've just been feeling stuck, just struggling, surviving. Those are kind of my key words that to try to verbalize what I feel like
okay.
going on with me.
Yeah, so is your stuckness around work or just life in general or your spiritual growth?
I think all of it.
Okay.
And, you know, I realized that I needed to work on my spiritual growth part. So I've been, you know, exploring that. But with work, I just, you know, a lot of activity, but nothing manifesting itself.
Mm-hmm.
Or it is, you know, and I get excited and then it just kind of fizzles out.
Okay. You know, because the thing is that we're all so integrated and interconnected that what we do spiritually affects our work and what we're doing in our work affects us spiritually. And so am I right in saying that your work is not really giving you the soul satisfaction that you're really looking for?
Well, it's just that I'm happy because I left an industry that I wasn't happy in. So I'm back in something that I really love to do. And I just get discouraged because things aren't happening how I need them to. You know, it's going to be our sole income here very soon. And it's not producing what I need it to.
So what is it you're doing? I'd love to know.
I'm a real estate licensee in Alaska.
Okay. So what is it about you, what is it about it that you love?
Having control over my life.
Okay.
The flexibility. I can do work. You know, I have stuff to do today, but I'm choosing to relax and work on some spiritual practice today and listening in, you know, to learn more. But then later on, I'll do some work.
Okay.
And
yeah.
then I love helping families find their homes, you know, and I feel energized when I go and show houses. I feel energized when I'm at the office. So that's why I love it.
Yay. Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to say it, that you liked it when you help people find their homes.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm thinking about is because one of the things that I do when I create jewelry is I sit with each piece and connect to the person that it's meant for.
Mm-hmm.
So what if every time you got a listing, you actually went and, you know, checked out the house and spent some time in it and then really send out your energy to connect with the person that house is meant for.
That's a good idea.
And really feel them in the house, feel them, you know, finding the finances to get it and feel their joy when they get that house.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is that if you can do that, your business is going to increase tremendously. You're not going to spend as much time spending time with the people that aren't really interested. They're just kind of spending some time, you know, doing open houses or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that you will really connect with the right people. And it'll bring so much more meaning to
okay.
what you're doing. And do you do readings at all?
No. I dabbled a little bit, you know, probably about 16 years ago, or no, longer than that. I guess I wasn't quite pregnant with my son, so 19 years ago. But then I had a deck, and I got scared.
Okay. Well, work on that, because what I'm thinking is that for some reason, I'm actually seeing you almost giving people a reading about why this house is speaking to them.
Mm-hmm.
And what it means for them in their life. And maybe it's just about you connecting with that and knowing it within yourself. But when you get that sense of how their life is going to feel when they're in the house, you'll be communicating with that to them, even if it's just on an energetic level.
Okay.
And it's going to give you some really happy, very committed fires.
Cool.
And do you do posts of the houses or on Facebook or anything?
I started to, well, I've only posted one, but I've got one other listing, and then I'm doing a joint listing with someone, and he's kind of taken the lead on it. I'm just,
okay,
because I did work on it, I'm involved in it, but he's the primary on the lead, and I work as a team in my office with about
okay.
three people, so it's kind of weird how things are.
Okay. Well, if you're working as a group, I'm suddenly seeing using some rose quartz as a way to help connect your group.
Okay.
So that you're all speaking the same language. And that might kind of help smooth things out a little bit too.
Okay. I'll add a piece. I made a little bowl of crystals for my desk. I've totally feng shui'd my desk. And
perfect.
I'll put a piece in there.
Yeah, and then, you know, and each day, just pull, you know, just hang out with your bowl and reach in and pick whichever stone wants to come and be with you that day. Because on different days, you may be, you know, courage to get through a wall, which agate is really fabulous for that. It's just courage to give it a try, especially if you've had a couple days where things just aren't flowing. You know, pull out some agate and it'll really help you move forward again.
Okay.
And just, or if you're having trouble finding the right words, pull out a piece of amethyst and stick that in your pocket.
Okay. I've been kind of changing up my little bag a little bit and trying to learn more about crystals and then trying to feel what speaks to me that day too.
Well, I'd like to share a process that I use for tuning into stones, because I found that actually being able to feel the energy of the stones yourself rather than just reading them in a book really gives you a lot more empowerment and energy for working with them. So if you're willing, I'd like to just do this simple little thing, and you can actually use it to answer questions. You can use it for all kinds of things.
Okay.
And so we're just going to do it real quick. I'm not going to take the normal amount of time that I have people pause between each one. But what I do first is just take a body check. See, how does your body feel? Is there anything tight, in pain, excited, energized, just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then write down whatever sensations you notice.
Okay.
And then next I want you to just check in with your emotions. How are you feeling? And give that a name, whatever it is, even if it's just blah, which I know it isn't right now, but, you know, this is the way to do this process. And then the next piece is called pace of mind, and you count to 10. And this just gives you an idea of how things are working mentally, and it can be really entertaining sometimes. So just count to 10 and pay attention to that. And then just take 3 deep breaths, put your feet on the floor. And then if you have a stone with you or if you have a question, pick up the stone or ask yourself a question like, is this the right house for this person?
Okay.
And then check in and see how you're feeling. How does your body feel? Has anything shifted? And then you check in and see how you feel emotionally. And then you count to 10. Okay. Did you ask a question? Did you hold a stone?
No, I was listening.
Okay. This is such a great, and I actually have a link on I have a blog post on my website where I talk about this. It's called The Still Small Voice. and it's in my blog section. And it's such a great technique because, I mean, I have used this to move cross country a few times or to make lots of decisions because you can actually know absolutely if something is the right answer or not because your body will tell you the answer and it takes it out of the aspect of should I, shouldn't I, yes, no, oh my God, I don't know. I mean, when you feel it in your body, you know. And one quickie example is I was going to move to Boston, and there were lots and lots of positive reasons to move to Boston. And I'd gone, and I applied to lots of jobs, and it was really tough. And then the job that I really wanted, he called back and offered me, like, a ridiculous low amount of money.
Yeah.
And I hung up the phone, and I sat in meditation, and I'm going, Boston. And I'm doing this whole process, and my whole body felt like a rock. And I mean a really dead rock.
Yes.
And so I thought, okay, clear that. And I just kind of let my mind wander. I said, well, where would be a good place for me? And all of a sudden I thought, California. I had no intentions of ever moving to California. And all of a sudden, every part of my body was grinning, jumping up and down with joy. And 4 weeks later, I moved to California. It was fun.
California is a wonderful place.
It is. And right now, I am now in southern Oregon, about 40 miles from California. So I think I got the best of all of it right here.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting that you should say that about decisions, because I've been meeting with Tanya, and we were talking about having trouble making decisions, you know, and some of my past associating with that. And so I think that would help me just to stop for a moment and really check in that way, because I get so overloaded and overwhelmed with outside stuff going on that I can't hear myself.
Yeah, and you're sensitive to energy, so you are picking up a lot of the energy and thoughts and feelings of other people around you and the whole world in general. And so doing this technique just really helps you get clear on what your soul purpose is and what's right for you on all kinds of levels. And it really takes out the doubt. And so I think you'll like it a lot.
Well, I'm going to work on that for sure, because I think that will really help a lot. And I've always been attracted to crystals and rocks, and I pick them up all the time. So I know they're talking to me. I can't hear it yet.
Yeah, well, if you do this technique before you pick up a stone, you know, do this before and then pick up the stone, you'll be able to feel exactly what it's doing for you and how it's working with you.
Okay.
And you can even ask it, you know, if it has a message for you, and just pay attention to what comes up and trust it.
Okay.
Because the stones can be really clear and really fun. Because they want to come and play with you. I mean, that's why they're here.
Yeah.
Wow, ladies. That was so awesome. I love that. So thank you so much, Joanne. And let's send you so much love and light up there in the North Pole. So I know that is oxymoron. So thank you so much, everyone, for connecting us and joining us. So, Anna Maria, so that's the process, kind of like you would do in also connecting someone to to one of your amazing pieces. Is that the kind
Yes.
of process that you go through with the reading?
Absolutely. And it's a process that works so well for so many things. It's just, I mean, it can be even to, wow, should I eat this steak tonight, or is that going to be the wrong thing for, you know, I mean, it can be just about almost any kind of question that you ask. And what I found is the more I work with it, the faster answer comes, and the less often I actually need to go through the whole process, because the answers just start coming so clearly that I notice immediately when I feel the answer in my body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And boy, is it And boy, has it guided me from doing some things that mentally I thought were exciting and on other levels were really exciting. And then when I came right down to it, there was something just totally off about it. And
right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Thank you for that save, right? Okay, I feel you on that. That's awesome. Well, we've got another caller, and so I'd like to ask, this is Miss Shonabra Johnson. So welcome, and thank you so much for being here at the first ever Virtual Psychic Summit. So we welcome you, Miss Johnson. You are on with the amazing Anna Mariah. Are you there? Hello? Okay, well, I guess Ms. Shonabra is not there.
I guess you scared her off.
Maybe I did. Okay, that's funny. So tell me a little bit more about what else. I mean, you said you were just changing, going through some changes yourself with your jewelry business. So that's a story in itself. I mean, because it was formerly Bold Bodacious Jewelry, and now it's Gemstone Alchemy. What was the change, and what connected you to what was going on with the part of your process that you're evolving into at this moment?
Well, you know, it's the process of constantly getting more and more and more clear about what we do. And I will tell you, back when I started my business in 2008. I was scared to come out and tell people I'm a gemstone empath and, you know, I'm making these amazing magical pieces that'll, you know, help you shift your energy and become more of who you are. That was terrifying. And so I thought, well, I was using a tagline of, you know, empowerment and bodacious, and people's eyes would light up. And so I decided to name my business Bold Bodacious Jewelry. I was going to go with Bodacious, but BodaciousJewelry.com is already taken, so I went with Bold Bodacious. And part of really tapping into your purpose and who you are is about being your most connected, bodacious self, which is being who you are with no apology. And, of course, for me, that's been an ongoing process of, you know, first coming out to, I'm a gemstone empath. And then it was like, okay, I'm a guardian of the stones. And then the next big one was I was asked to do a guest post on a friend's blog called Magnificent You. And I had to do an intro. And what came up was that when I work with a stone, it's returned to its original energy of creation. And I thought, oh, my God, I can't say that. That's crazy. And I just took a deep breath because it was so clear that that was truly what I was doing. But I said, okay, I'll put it out there and see what happens. And all I got was good feedback. And so it's just been over the years, it's been, you know, one more step. Okay, I'm going one step deeper. And then recently, over the last year, I've been realizing more and more that I really want people to get that they're not just buying a piece of jewelry. They're buying a sacred piece that's going to be working with them energetically. And so the Bold Bodacious was feeling like it just wasn't quite enough. But I was racking my brains trying to come up with the right name, the right term. How do you shift this? And strangely enough, I was listening to an audiobook. And the woman was an alchemist. And she commented that alchemy was the process of taking separate parts and creating something that was much greater than the whole, which is exactly what I've been saying with my jewelry all along, that by combining different stones, what comes out of it is something that is not, you know, this plus this equals that. It's something so much more. And so as I heard it, I had chills. And I thought, oh, my gosh, if I change it to gemstone alchemy, then I'm actually truly describing very clearly what I do. And I got really excited, and I think I changed the business name that day because it was just such a clear answer, and I got such chills when I heard it. And, you know, so that's one of the things. It's all about just constantly listening to your deeper messages and not being afraid to change things as you go. Because, you know, I know Jamie's been making a lot of changes in her business, as has Amethyst, and another one of the presenters is my friend Carol Burbank, who's also been making some giant leaps and changes in the way she's doing her business. And so all of that is you just keep, you know, I just keep going, you know, one step deeper and then putting it out there in the world and finding out that people actually understand what I'm talking about. And it's creating deeper connections both for me, and the pieces that I'm creating are coming out. They're even more charged than they were before because they're even more clear on what their purpose is. And so that's one thing that I think for all of us is to just keep asking ourselves questions. Who am I? What am I doing? Why am I doing it? And let the changes happen.
Wow. It's so, so amazing. So, and isn't that what the whole month is for? It's like this entire time of October has been this month of change. And so it's, you know, just this year alone. And I know that's why we've been going through these big changes, because this is the time. It's like 2015 is the clear it up and clear it out year. So
absolutely.
I know we've got, it looks like I've been able to find Ms. Johnson. So I'm going to go on over to Ms. Johnson
good.
So you can get her reading. But then I want to get back into what do you feel is coming for 2016? And we can have a chat about that before we wrap things up. So Ms.
Okay.
Johnson, are you available? Are you there, Ms. Johnson?
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay,
hi,
good.
Sandra. Thank you so much
hi.
For joining our amazing guest, Anna Marie, the Gem Alchemist. And so tell us, what do you want to ask the bold, bodacious, and brilliant Anna Maria?
Wow. First of all, good evening. And I'm so impressed with everything you shared and the work you just did with the previous woman. I am sitting here with a load of questions.
Okay.
One question that stands out for me, though, is Tanya is so right. 2015 has truly been a year of transformation and change. A lot of things come up for me in terms of emotional trauma, and it showed
mm-hmm.
up in my health.
It showed up where?
It showed up health-wise. I manifested, the doctors say it manifested in diabetes and severe anemia and things of that nature. So I was always very health conscious, so I knew that it was emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing a lot of work around emotions. Tanya was a major blessing in my life in terms of helping me accept my gifts. And so as I develop those things, I would love your advice as to how I move forward. I'm much better than I was. The health is looking great. A lot of things released. Blessings to Tanya again.
Oh, yeah. I could feel so many things opening up for you. It's just like there's this, trying to find the description. It's like this ball of energy that's just about to break loose.
Wow.
And part of this whole thing has been to, you know, to get you to really take some time and go within and find new tools.
Yeah.
But what that's doing is really connecting you to parts of yourself that you haven't been either aware of, or you were aware and you weren't paying enough attention.
So true.
That's what I was hearing anyway. So, just what would bring you the greatest joy in your life?
When I think of the greatest joy right now, it would truly be moving into a different space and different location. I've been battling with location. But different space really, really is what I was working on when I was challenged with the health. So I'm back to packing, back to being open.
Fabulous. Yeah, well, having just moved from Washington, D.C. area to Southern Oregon, I can tell you that that's definitely a call to listen to. Because it's one I've known for 3 years that I needed to leave Virginia, and I was in my head about, well, you know, and oh, this and this and money and oh. And finally, just one day, somebody said, why are you not just doing it? And I had all these reasons. She said, so get rid of the reasons. You know, it was like, so I went online. I had a gigantic jewelry sale. Oh, my God. I've never sold my jewelry so cheap, but it was so freeing because I was sending every single piece off to be loved and enjoyed. And it was such a wonderful process of finding the power within me just to get moving. Because within 9 weeks of making the decision, I was driving cross country. And we actually rented a house without even seeing it. We just saw some pictures and had a friend go do a walkthrough. And when we got here, it's the most wonderful place I have ever lived in my whole life.
Wow.
I'm even speaking to you from, we have a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house, and I have a 4-room separate office suite. That's about 30 feet from my house. So really just start putting out to the universe and to your guides and call in some friends and ask for suggestions about, are you moving to a different part of the country or just a different place to live?
Right now, just a different place.
Okay, just start putting it out there. Ask anybody if they know a great realtor or anything, because the day I connected to the property manager that found us our house, she had just gotten this listing that day.
Wow.
And so just because it's waiting for you.
I believe that. I do.
And my feeling is I can see you getting there and your energy just opening up and feeling so much lighter and more expansive.
Yeah.
And it's just going to let you physically feel like you can move more and getting up in the morning and dancing around.
I love that. Thank you.
Thank you. And good luck. And let me, you know, let us all know when you find it.
Oh, certainly.
I love when things happen and come together like that. So thank you so much, Chambra, for joining us. Go ahead and mute yourself back there.
You're welcome. I will.
Okay. So, wow, that was so amazing, Anna Maria. Thank you so much for that. So what's, like, what is one of the, so creating is your thing, but what else do you absolutely love? I mean, creating your jewelry, doing your readings. I mean, I know how it's all connected, and I know we want to do everything, and it gets a little hard trying to do it all, but I know when you're passionate, when you're inspired, you know, it sometimes feels like, oh, I can keep doing this forever, but, you know, you can only do a little bit at a time. So, like, what's next on your horizons with the Gemstone Alchemy? And then we're going to take one more call right before we wrap things up and go through some more stuff. And I would love to invite you to stay on. So if you want to keep doing readings, you are more than welcome to stay on. So tell us what's going on.
Yeah. Well, what's next is I'm working slowly towards this. I've been doing some classes and some things, but I'm working on putting together a video series of learning to work with the gemstones. And it will probably, I've done this in person a couple times, and it's just phenomenal, is going through and working with each chakra. But because I don't do work with the gemstones in the normal way of look it up in the book and see which goes with each chakra, I'm using a much more intuitive way. So one of the things we always do in the classes is use that, you know, that 3-step technique that I was doing. It's really helped people learn to figure out what's going on in their own bodies and how different tools can help them shift and answer questions. And it's a rich experience of not only tapping into the energy, but learning to ask questions and listening to the answers in ways that are really empowering. Because we really all want to get to the point where we can ask our own questions, get our own answers, and know, and not have to wait for somebody else to tell us what to do next. And so that's one of my biggest things is like, okay, ladies, everybody, let's just see what we can do to empower ourselves. And part of that is being creative on a whole lot of different levels. I think every one of us has some kind of a creative bone in our body, even if it doesn't necessarily come off as being a great painter or whatever. But some of us are just creative thinkers. And
I love that because, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I love that because we do have someone who's going to be joining us who is an artist. And I can't wait for Elisa to come on. And, you know, that art of creation, that it's, again, it's going back to what Jamie said. It's like what I said, and we're all saying the same thing. It's that connection, that creative, that inspired action. You know, it's that inspired action, that center, that connection to what it is that's out there is what we want. And when we're doing our gift and sharing our talent, time, and treasure, like me doing the work that I do as a spiritual teacher, as a psychic, as a medium, and you as a gemologist or gem alchemist now, you know, there is no time, there is no value, there is no nothing that compares to the inspiration, which is being in spirit.
Absolutely.
That we all have, you know. And so that's, again, this is how the Psychic Summit was created in that mindset. So we have a beautiful spirit on. This looks like Mary. Mary, are you there? I've got you on. Is this Mary?
Me speaking?
Yes. Hi, hello. Mary.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You're on with Anna Maria and Tanya. So do you have a question? I saw your hand was raised there, so I'd love for you to ask Anna Maria a question.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I also work with crystals. And I work a lot with animals, in fact, primarily with animals. But anyway, my question is that I'm looking to take, when I work with animals, just another step forward, and I want to do a little bit more with animal communication. And so what I'm asking is any suggested steps to do that, and I know there's a crystal I'm supposed to be working with, but before I can't, it's like it's so close, but I can't pinpoint it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, you haven't found it yet.
Exactly.
But it's so close. And this is really cool because a couple years ago, I was making gemstone collars for pets. And I would actually go talk to the animal and see what stones they wanted. And it was really interesting because they could be very clear on telling me exactly which stones and why.
It's exactly what I do. I do a lot of collars. I don't call them collars. I call them necklaces because they're not really a collar. And I started doing that with my Minpin Marcus back. He was like my very, very first experiment. He was diagnosed with diabetes and Cushing's and pancreatitis, and he wasn't responding well. And we worked really closely, me and him, to getting necklaces and changing them. And I just found that I think it's why I love working with animals so much, because they're so clear on what they want.
They are.
Take a lot of the guesswork out.
Yeah, it does, because they're just like, this is it. And you know, and they can be so phenomenally clear. It's really fabulous. And it sounds like you've already got a really good way of connecting with them. Because I started off, I actually took a class with somebody who was doing animal communication with horses. And we'd sit in this ring and talk to the ex-racehorses. And it was quite fun. And I was shocked at how clear they were at telling their story and showing what was going on. And what color stones are you working with now primarily?
All of them.
Okay.
It might be easy. What color am I not working with? That would be none. You know, it changes from day to day. And if you ask me what's in my pocket right at the very moment, I've got a nice piece of seraphonite and a pyrite.
I knew there was a green stone. I love seraphonite. It's just fabulous.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, it's a beautiful stone.
Absolutely gorgeous. There's another green stone that you haven't found yet.
Okay.
And I think it might be a green calcite. It's a very physically healing stone. But it also, when you work with it, it allows you to tap very clearly into your heart and make a connection between your heart and the heart of the animal that you're talking to.
Okay.
Which is interesting because it's not a traditional communication stone, but that's what they keep showing me is this one piece of green calcite that I have. And it's like, oh, yeah, that would be really, and it feels really good. It feels like it's just a very nice, clear heart connection. And that it also allows you to feel their physical as well.
Yeah, because that was like the piece I was missing, and I knew, I mean, I've got the selenite, the labradorite, the selenites, I mean, the celestites, and they just didn't feel like the right stone for communicating with them, you know, so I knew it was like very something a little bit more non-traditional.
It's definitely non-traditional, because I was actually questioning, going, no, it's still there, it's still showing itself, and it's one that's about fist size.
Okay.
Like if you have your fist really tight, it's kind of uneven shape, but it's got a smoothness to it. And
okay.
It feels really good. It's like one that's you're gonna instantly feeling grounded and connected.
And then
I'm sure
I'm gonna know it as soon as I feel it. I have a wonderful shop where I live. It's called Happy Rainbows, and every time I walk in there, she goes like, did you see this new piece that I got? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I need that one too.
Another stone you might really like just for yourself personally is Mount Shasta Serpentine. It's a little bit similar to seraphinite, but it actually looks a little bit more like moldavite, but it doesn't have quite a moldavite energy.
What did you say that was?
It's called Mount Shasta Serpentine.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I've only found that there's a store in Mount Shasta called the Crystal Room where I get mine, but I've also got a couple pieces here that I'm getting ready to wire wrap in Dependence. So if you go on my website and you can send me an email to Anna Mariah Now. It's NAU at Gmail.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to have to write that down.
Yeah. Or it's just, our quickie is, oh, faster one is am@boldbodaciousjewelry. But you'll find it on my website also.
All right, hold on. am@boldbodaciousjewelry.com?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
You know what? I'll shoot you an email later. So thank you.
Yeah, I've got, in fact, they're sitting on my table right now just waiting for me to dig out my gold and silver wire.
Cool.
Because there's something, yet every time I find them, I'm just, oh my gosh, this is just one of the most gorgeous stones ever. And it's, since you work so much on a heart connection, I think you'll really like it. And it would be fabulous with your seraphinite as well.
Okay, cool. So thank you.
This is fun, and I would love to see pictures of the necklaces that you're making.
Okay. Usually I don't pre-make anything as far as jewelry is concerned.
Well, then for the animals.
You know, yeah, I will, you know, I'll shoot you a picture of Marcus and his very first necklace.
Cool. That's fun. Because the animals can really, they really need people doing this for them.
Mm-hmm. And I find I think I have progressed as much as I have is because I have their help, because I'm helping them, they're helping me. So I find it just completes that whole circuit, you know. You're giving, they're giving, you know. Much more
beautiful.
Appreciative, you know, very appreciative. And like there's nothing you could do that's wrong with them. If they don't think it's right, they'll tell you, well, maybe you should try it this way, but nothing is ever wrong.
Exactly. That's so cool.
Well, thank you so much. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. You might also check out bioelectricshield.com. They make a pendant for different animals that helps to deflect the electromagnetic radiation that's causing havoc in our systems and some of their systems as well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that.
And, yeah, it's quite effective, and we've had some pretty happy pet owners saying their animals seem so much more relaxed now that they're not being hit with all that radiation.
Cool.
That was super cool. I'm sorry. Did you have something else you wanted to add?
No. I just wanted to thank both of you, and you know, for doing this. This is really very nice.
Oh,
thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Thanks,
thank you.
And thanks for working with the animals.
Those.
Yes. Thank you for working with the animals, Mary. I'm so grateful for that. Because again, that is a gift. That is absolutely a gift, and I love knowing that everything that everyone does is really in divine and perfect order, and it all just works the way it's supposed to. So I'm just blown away how all of this is just really coming together and connecting people and us all working together, and it's just all just perfect. It all just is perfect. So I just, again, I'm so grateful and so excited about, again, this courageous, potential, sparkling amethyst. I mean, can you tell me a little bit more about what was your, in this piece exactly? Because I know it wasn't made exactly for me. However, it does vibrate to my energy very, very strongly. I love that real cold torts of, you know, rose goldness of it, and courageous and potential. What were you thinking when you were creating this amazing piece?
See, even though I don't know who it's for when I'm creating something, even if it's not a customized piece, I'm actually tuning into the energy of the person that's going to be wearing it. And I've gotten more and more clear about that over the year. And when you first reached out to me, I instantly saw that necklace. And then when you wrote and said, the one I was looking at that I really liked was that one, I'm like, yes, of course. Because I saw it immediately. And, you know, so I just love how, you know, how all that works. And when I, you know, when I got those stones, because they are, they're some of the clearest, sparkliest amethysts. It's a lighter color amethyst. Normally I work with a really, really deep, deep amethyst, but this lighter color amethyst has been showing up more and more in the world lately, or I'm just getting more attracted to it. And there's something about it. It's got all the depth and the power of the darker amethyst, but there's something about it that is more uplifting and more light-filled. It's got a joyousness to it that is really palpable. And so I think that's the whole thing, is because you're sharing, you know, your love of all of this work with the world. And so it's just like lifting your energy in a way that you can say, and here's, and this is why I'm so happy. And it's giving your guides a way of communicating with you in a way that's sometimes more light and joyful than what comes in sometimes. Because sometimes, you know, the messages that we get are really heavy. And then other days they can just be like, wow, this is what I see about joy in the world. And, you know, that can be really awesome because, you know, a lot of people are talking about all the horrible things that are coming up in the world. And I just keep seeing that we're all getting clearer and clearer. And even when bad things are happening, we're getting less and less triggered by them. And staying more in our own center and our own power. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, all the tools that we have, whether we're doing readings or, you know, hanging out with fabulous gemstone beings, we've got a lot of tools that are helping us not believe all the hype. And I think that's really, really important for all of us right now. To just keep finding ways of tapping in and saying, but what's my truth? I know this is what they're saying, but what's my real truth here?
Absolutely.
And so that's one of the ways we can stay clear and empowered.
Yeah, and that's go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just saying, it just keeps us from buying into the fear.
Ain't that the truth? That is the truth right there. And, you know, that is really what it boils down to is, and, you know, and that's what spiritual practice is. Spiritual practice is practicing staying out of the fear. It's practicing staying aware. It's practicing staying present, you know. And so that's all that spiritual practice is. And so I'm going to ask you, for two things. First off,
okay.
Now that I have the bodacious, beautiful, courageous potential necklace, I would like for you to tell me, what do you feel for me, Anna Maria? And then I would like for you to tell me your mystical clue word. So wrap it in there. Make sure it's tight so we can slip in. We want to make sure, because I know Jamie was able to slip off, but I know that we were talking about her transformational healing. Buzz, buzz, buzz,
mm-hmm.
Wink, 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 transformation. And
one of my favorite words.
Right. So tell me, what do you feel coming from me, Anna Maria? And thank you for taking a moment to do this for me, because I like to connect also with our, you know, energy people. And I know we've got so many of our different fans and friends and attendees on here. So tell me, what do you see for me? Or with my courageous, because
I
feel it.
I do feel it. You know, and part of what I was talking about earlier is having that courage to keep going deeper into our why and getting clearer and clearer and clearer about what our real purpose is and sharing that with the world. And it's really interesting because it's something I struggle with. I think we all struggle with, especially when we're doing things in the woo-woo world and still trying to make it translatable to, you know, people that aren't necessarily hanging out here all the time. And so what I see for you is finding ways to bridge that more and more in finding new languaging that you can talk perfectly to the people that believe all this, but also finding ways of talking to the people that don't necessarily. And finding a new courage in reaching out to some of them in new ways. And it's like, because it takes your potential, your ability to help other people one step deeper. Because it's great when we can help people that already believe all the stuff we believe. But when we can reach out and touch the people that aren't so sure. So what I see is you're going to start finding new ways of speaking about it and connecting with some of the people that are still just maybe touching their toe in just the tiniest bit. And they'll reach out and just feel your lightness and joy and say, oh, this isn't so scary. Wow. Okay. I think I can, you know, I'm getting a sense that there's something more here. And so I just see your business increasing in some really interesting new ways that that haven't even brought themselves in yet. Your guides are going, oh, yeah, we got this one.
Yeah, you know, it's happening. I have some really great big news that I want to share soon, but I don't want it to overshadow the summit, so I'm saving it under my hat until after the summit is over. So yes, it's very, very true. My courageous potential is shining, is absolutely shining, and I'm so grateful for all of it, and just like this amazing summit. And so I know I have some more, you know, listeners on here, and as well as hosts. And so some of my other fellow hosts, would you mind popping in? And, you know, since I know you're here, I would love for you to connect with us at our kickoff. So I'm going to unmute our other hosts. If you are on mute, my other beautiful presenters, I see it looks like maybe this is Katz. And someone else here, who are my lovely hosts that are also here? Can you let us know who's here?
Well, I'm Kat.
I thought that was you. Hi, Kat. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I saw that you were here, and I just thought maybe you could just welcome our you know, for our kickoff. Would you, you know, just mind letting some of our attendees know what you're going to be talking about this week with your readings and things? Kat, can you speak a few words? Do you mind?
Sure. I'm a psychologist, but I'm also a medical intuitive, and I work with emotional issues that are tied into medical issues. And I will be guiding people to some different things that they can look up on my website and partake in, or they can email me and I will send them some things. I'm going to be talking about some medical intuitive things and some emotional issues and how people have healed through those kinds of things. You've got to work with both in order to heal.
Wow, I can't wait, Kat. This is going to be so great. So that's Tuesday night at, I have you down at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time?
Tuesday?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, Monday. Looking at the wrong schedule.
Okay.
I apologize. No. I'm so sorry. No, not Tuesday, Monday. So thank you. Thank you so much, Kat. Didn't mean to scare you there. So thank you so much for checking in. So we'll be checking in a little bit more tomorrow. I'm so looking forward to how we can dig deeper. And then who else do I have on the line? Somebody here from Chicago. Who's that? It looks like there's someone else here. Okay. All right. Well, maybe they don't want to say anything. That's okay.
Okay. So I still need to drop in my word, and I've been playing with a couple, but what I'm seeing is creation. There are scavenger hunt clue. Are you still there, Tanya?
Tanya, are you asking for somebody else?
This is Anna Mariah.
Okay. And who were you asking if still was still on?
Well, I was throwing in my scavenger hunt clue.
Oh.
For the week. It was creation.
Okay.
But who's this?
This is Kat still. I'm sorry. I got all mixed up.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good. I think Tanya left us. I'm looking forward to hearing your talk, Kat. We're all going to have a very busy week because there's so many awesome people doing, you know, good work. Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Can anybody hear me?
Hello.
Anna Mariah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I don't know what happened. I was just talking away, so I just want to make sure. Please make sure you put on *6 to mute. Anna Mariah, but you can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Okay. All right. So, yes. So interesting, right? All right. So, it looks like everybody can still hear me. Okay, that's the best thing.
Yes.
As long as you can hear me, that's the best thing. Okay, fantastic. So our kickoff is wrapping up, you guys. So I want everybody to get their sleep and get their rest. So Anna Mariah, is there anything that you can suggest that our people can do to get prepared for the moon for this week? Is any specific gemstone with the moon, with this Halloween week, that what you could suggest? Because I know we've got some big energy coming in, and we're going to need some crystals, some prayers, some protection. What do you suggest, Anna Mariah? What are you feeling?
Oh, I'm a huge proponent of using a combination of stones, and I like having a grounding stone along with some of these higher energy stones. And actually, I want to share a quickie. I have this fabulous Moldavite Palladium bowl. So I just want to give you a little bit of a taste of the transformational energy of this Moldavite, because the Palladium is grounding, and the Moldavite is bringing in major higher energies. And I think this is a good piece for this week. So hopefully this will come across okay on the internet even. What I'm seeing for everybody for this week is find whichever stone you feel connects you to your higher guidance. And then also pick up a piece of agate or onyx or one of the more grounding stones, or even a smoky quartz, and use them together, because that's going to be anchoring in your higher guidance. So use one of your higher guidance stones, either something purple or even a clear crystal, but you then use an onyx or a smoky or one of the grounding stones in order to ground in the energy as well. So it makes it, all that higher guidance is more accessible in your body, and you don't go too floaty. Because with a big full moon like this, sometimes it's really easy to just float away.
Ooh, that is so true. And thank you so much for that Moldavite crystal bowl. That was fantastic.
Hopefully that came across okay.
It did. It did. It felt really fantastic, actually.
Yeah, this one is bringing in the higher energies, and it's a high heart chakra, which is tapping into purpose and higher guidance. And it's grounding, so you feel it in your whole body. And this was my moving present to myself. As soon as we got here, I mean, we were still unpacking boxes, and I had to drive the store in Mount Shasta and go hang out with the Moldavite bowls that I've been thinking about for 3 years. And I played them, and I got this one, and I just went, that's mine. I have to have it. And so it's just finding whatever stone it is that really makes you feel connected and centered.
Yeah, that's the key word. That's not the clue word, but that is a key word, that you have to have that connection. So I hope if you are out there buying crystals, you are just drawn to them, because they really do kind of draw you in every day I pick a new one as well.
Well, and pay attention to combinations that call you too, because by using some of the combinations, like all the agate stones, whatever color they are very grounding and protective and give you courage. But because of whatever colors they also are tying in different chakras. And so by using a combination of stones, you can bring in some of these higher energies and help them be more accessible in your body without having you be floating off into the netherworld. And I think that's one of the keys for us for this next year, is to be bringing in the higher guidance, but keeping it grounded for us.
Yes, I think that is absolutely the key for 2016, is about grounding and also about that, like your keyword, creation. It's about that creative sense of grounding. And so thank you so much, Anna Maria, for your beautiful gifts and your readings. I can't wait to have you on again on Friday. We're going to do some more readings and give away some of your amazing swag, some of that amazing, beautiful necklace you made for our swag. I'm so grateful for that. So I thank you
for
being on today.
It's been great fun.
Yes. So much fun. So it's going to be a wonderful week, and I just know that each and every one of us and everyone who's here listening live or to the replay is going to just get exactly what they need. So I will be making this replay available available on the website as an information only. Please make sure, attendees, that when you get your email, if you are VIP, you will have a link to how to access VIP access. If you are free, please use the numbers that are provided for you on the email that you receive. And remember, as a free caller, you do not have the operation to raise your hand. If you want to get a reading, please register as a VIP. So with that said, I just again want to thank everyone for some of our little techie glitches. I know we've had just a couple. And, you know, this is, again, it's a summit, it's live, so we're going to have a few little issues, and I'm grateful for them because we all learn as we grow. So I just want everyone to get some sleep, to get ready for this week, not just for the Psychic Summit, but for this kick-ass full moon that's on its way, that's about to unleash its power on us, right? Isn't it? It's going to be a kick ass. So, but join us tomorrow morning, bright and early, for our morning motivation with Jewel Lightheart, who is a magical life coach, as well as Amethyst Mahoney, who is the heart and soul business model. And then our afternoon of Psychic Power Hour, we'll see who's coming up for us. As well as tomorrow evening, we will have our evening enchantment starting again at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time with Radhi Cassidy from India. And as we heard from Kat Delaney, from 8 to 9 p.m. So we've got a full day. Get your rest. Get ready. Full moon's approaching. And wow. Here we go. It's launched. We're ready. Let's go. I'm so excited. So we're just sending it off with so much love and light. So, right, Mariah, any last words, any last inspiration?
Just love.
Just love. All right.
Have a magical week.
Yes. And my clue word for mystical messages is in my title of my website. So it is my profession, my favorite thing. It is tarot. So have a wonderful evening, all. I can't wait to join you bright and early tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And until then, peace and blessings. Thanks again, Anna Maria. Thank you so much, Jamie Saldoff. And have a wonderful Sunday night.
All righty. Take care. Love you.
Love you.
All right. Bye.